News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. Hope you all are doing good on this Wednesday. And a lot to get to. We had our three big things, all pretty compelling stories, including, I guess, the main reason for Hegseth calling that meeting and bringing people from around the globe all to one place, at least in his speech that he gave to them, the public speech, it was about getting in shape.
Yeah.
Part of it was. I'm sure a lot of other things were discussed.
Getting in shape and getting the services in...
in unwoke shape.
Unwoke shape. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So it was, he addressed the woke part of the military, and he addressed the out of shape part of the military, and he did it in a way that made it very clear he wasn't happy with either portion of those. And Trump came on and addressed them. He was there for over an hour. I think Hegseth's address was maybe 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was really interesting because all the speculation, why, what's going on, why are they bringing them in, what's happening, what are we mobilizing toward? And I think it was a great move because I think it just brought everybody together. You know, when you have people that fractured, they're in different places around the world. You could do a Zoom call, like you said, and people are putting on mute. They're not really paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
He got their attention probably on a number of matters, all in one place where they could all convene with each other and have dialogue with each other. I think it was a brilliant move. And then to weave getting into shape thing, you know, you'll play some of those clips. He's not being very kind about it. Telling him, I don't like looking at fat generals
you're disgusting.
But it's not your fault. It was the politicians that did it. Trump then, in 70 minutes, he probably went up and down with some of what he had to say, but a lot of it was kind of soothing, like, I've got your back kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, all in all, and I'm sure there's some political sides that are throwing arrows at this. Why did they do that?
No, oh, definitely.
But yeah. I think it was a good move for morale. I really do.
It seems that way. And was this, I don't know if I'd call it a dressing down of the generals and the admirals in this audience, but it kind of was, right? Was it for them or was it for the enlisted and for the American people? Was this to show everyone that the Trump administration and Hegseth, they're going to hold those with the highest ranks to account, maybe even more seriously than those who the generals and admirals are in charge of? I think having, you know, America talk about this all day yesterday and today, even though you do, and the headlines are just hilarious. I think the Arizona Republic, their headline was like Hegseth fat shames generals or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now they're worried about the morale of the top brass because they were told they need to get in shape. But you're right, and I saw a lot of complaining. It's whoever's not in charge, whenever something like this happens, they go, oh, on the taxpayer's dime, huh? What a waste doing this on the taxpayer's dime. You're making me pay for this when this could have been a Zoom meeting. But, I mean, it was almost, in a way, reading some of what folks had to say who were in attendance, almost like a bit of a convention. Now, I don't think they had, you know, your normal convention stuff. They just showed up and were there for the Hegseth Trump speeches and then, I guess, make their way back to where they're stationed. But you had all of these high-ranking individuals, you know, traveling with each other, or they'd be in the same hotels, they'd be in the same restaurants. And
there's a lot of benefit to that, don't you think?
I think so. And then actually being there and having to watch Hegseth, and he put on a great, performance, if that's what you want to call it that, because he was walking around the stage. It was more like a TED talk than it was standing at the podium and letting them have it. And then Trump did his riffing thing too. His main thing was peace through strength. And I saw some people kind of trying to characterize Trump's speech as preparing the military for war, which they should always be ready for war, right? But right after I saw somebody saying that, like, oh, get ready. And it's one of the person I saw saying that was one of those conspiracy theorist people that always, if you spend any kind of time on X, on Twitter, they'll post stuff like, what do you notice? What do you see here? Yeah. And they don't put it out there. They say, what do you notice about
they're
this?
They're not even going to tell you. Huh?
Yeah. And then so they're like, clearly this is Trump preparing for World War III. But you actually look at what Trump had to say. He said, we're calling it the Department of War because it's nothing to be messed with. It's peace through strength. We need to show our enemies that we can be just as violent or more violent than them and that we will take the fight to them. Rather than having the fight taken to us, we don't want, I think he specifically said, we're done defending other people's borders. We're here to defend America, and we are the Department of War now.
But we're going to be working through Europe to help Ukraine.
Yeah.
So we still have that going on, that entanglement.
Yeah. So that's escalating, at least as far as our involvement since Trump's been in office. But he also talked about kind of using these cities where crime has gotten out of control is a bit of a training ground. And, you know, I don't always agree wholeheartedly with what Trump has to say. There's very often that I disagree with him. I know a ton of people aren't feeling too great about that, about using the military in American cities. But Trump, he brought that up again yesterday.
Well, they would do that. They special forces do urban training in areas like that. Mm. But they do it in a way, it's controlled.
Right.
You know? Remember, Zach had a mission in Chicago, Dallas. You know, they had at Soldier Field. They would, you know, do their thing in a simulated situation, but they would do it in an urban area where they had to execute in a certain way.
Yeah, and those are so cool too. The way they would prepare for missions you watch how they prepared for the Osama bin Laden mission and had the almost exact build out that they could, and it's really cool. But I think he was specifically talking here about, you know, enforcing laws using the military.
No simulations.
But I think what Hegseth had to say was important, and I don't say that because I believe that, although I do, that they need to be in shape as kind of a top-down leadership style, but because I've seen so many other people who have been in the military for so long say that. That's who I'm kind of speaking because they feel that same way. Hegseth, I mean, he really let them have it. I think the part of his speech that is getting the most play today is him calling them fat, really. Here he is.
I'm also directing that warfighters in combat jobs execute their service fitness test at a gender-neutral, age-normed male standard scored above 70%. Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world.
He also, I think a good reason he had them there was so that he could say this directly to their faces.
The words I'm speaking today are making your heart sink, then you should do the honorable thing and resign.
He's cutting off the, like, grumbling about all this when they retreat back to their rooms or when they meet up at the bar later. He's like saying, you know, I don't want to hear a bunch of that stuff. You're watching me and paying close attention to me now. So when you go off, you want to think about what I said because I meant it, rather than to give them the license to bitch about it later.
Yeah, and he also knows the people that they're in charge of saw this same thing.
Absolutely. So you were saying, who was it for? And I was thinking that was part of the brilliance of this whole thing. It was for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was to make a statement to the world, if they're paying attention, like, oh, whoa. It's to make a statement certainly to the people that he was addressing, obviously. I think it was for the enlisted and those others that have got to meet certain standards or are going to be asked more quickly to get to those standards, keep those standards. And I think it was for the American people. I think it was for the American people, many of whom voted for Donald Trump, maybe even those who did not, to give them the idea that we are going to be a fine-tuned military machine. And make no mistake about it, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, and year over year, sitting right here on Mobile Mornings, we would talk about stories where they were having all services were having so much difficulty reaching the numbers they need to have people enlisted.
Yeah.
People just weren't joining.
No.
Right? And now that the standards have been raised, you're seeing great recruitment numbers. I mean, I think every single service has reached their goal for the year, which I think a lot of people would think it would go the other way. Oh, wait, they've made it more difficult to serve. Yeah. That would mean there would be fewer people in. No, the people who are willing, if you're willing to sign your life, potentially, let me say,
yeah,
sign your life away, as in when you sign up, you know.
Your property in the United yeah. States.
So would you do that? When you're seeing images of generals wearing, you know, dog masks, mm-hmm. some of the crap we've seen over the last few years, how crazy is it that we've gotten to a point where Hegseth yesterday saying no more dudes in dresses?
Yeah.
That's a controversial thing for yeah. the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of War to say. That's how far we've fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about the wokeness and the identity politics a lot yesterday, too. I thought overall, great speech. And somebody was texting us yesterday as he was delivering that speech. And he said, man, are you guys hearing what Hegseth has to say right now? So I couldn't wait to actually tune in and hear what he had to say. And I know a lot of you have some commentary on this, too. You have Bucky Beaver who texted in. He said, good morning, guys. This is Bucky Beaver. I'm glad my son is not going to be in the foxhole with Corporal Klinger. I'm glad he made that speech to all of them yesterday.
Yeah.
Hey, guy
was wearing a dress during the Korean conflict, according to CBS.
You know, Hegseth also yesterday confirmed the dismissal of senior officers General C.Q. Brown. Remember him?
Yeah.
Admiral Lisa Franchetti for advancing the woke agendas. Billy D. says, just throw back to World War II. I mean, this is a standard that was set back to World War II for generals and everything else. Now, I don't know about the shaving thing. That might be something they're going to let go, but that's exactly what this is all about. I think this is a preemptive to let everybody know that we're getting ready for something big. But see, that's the thing, Billy D. The military should always be ready for something big. They shouldn't have, I mean, of course you're going to have preparation, and depending on who the enemy may or may not be, direct preparation for that enemy. But they should always be ready to go to war.
Well, they are. They are. And then
have they been?
Well, I'm saying
we have.
We have.
We have many that are.
We
but
have.
Are
we
the
have
services
factions.
As a whole ready?
Well, I wouldn't. I can't say that. But mm-hmm. there are many who are. I just want to point that out. And also to Billy D, I don't know that I would connect those two together. I think that this presentation was, like I say, it was intended for the audience that was there. It was intended for the nation. It was intended for the world, in a way, if they were going to take anything from it, just to make sure that people know that America is serious about it. It was for the enlisted people to understand that everybody's going to be held to a certain level of expectations. I don't know that I would connect that to it's getting ready. We're getting ready for something big. I don't know that we would trumpet this big thing, try to make it known that we're getting ready to be in the middle of something. We're already in the middle of enough stuff. World War II or III, I should say, seems to be, you know,
around the corner.
Yeah, like a fastball under the chin away. So I don't know that I would connect those two. I think this thing was independent of anything that any further action that might come sooner rather than later.
But that was a question that people had. Anytime you have that kind of, you know,
yeah,
gathering.
Well, but the gathering itself, that's what all the speculation was. What's it all about?
Mm-hmm.
This must be this must be a very important time for them to think they need to bring everybody together. I think it was more of a time to make sure that things are right. Morale is where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
We got your back, but get in shape. That's the way I see
it. Well, and how important was this statement from Trump yesterday? And I don't think you would assume that every president lets their feelings known about this, but I think Trump saying, I've got your back. Listen to this.
I am with you. I support you. And as president, I have your backs 100%. You'll never see me even waver a little bit. It's the way it is.
That means something.
It does. I think the whole convention you wanted to call it, when you brought that up, I thought there's the key. These people are all together where otherwise they would normally all be apart.
Mm-hmm.
They could react to it from a Zoom call. Like, you see what they said, man, that was some BS. You know? But instead, they were in an audience all getting the message, Dalton, at the same time from the same men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important.
We have a lot of texts we'll get to on this. 251-343-0106. Also, the limited government shutdown. You know, how many jobs could the Trump administration actually axe?
A bunch.
Cut with this. And the Trump 2028 hats that appeared magically in the on the table with Schumer and Jeffries in the office.
Yeah, Hakeem not feeling it. 822, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Thanks, Kane. 827 FM Talk 106.5. Coming back to the texts here in just a second. This segment brought to you by Underdog. Football season's in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. And there's plenty of action going on right now in the world of sports. You can select entries and win money right now, right here in Alabama. And playing on Underdog is incredibly easy. Once you download the app and use the promo code, I'll tell you about here in a second. To make an entry, just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower. In football, you're talking stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns. Of course, I'm looking at a lot of baseball today. Strikeouts, home runs, bases. Get your entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. I've told you before, one of the best things about it is the live updates of the stats for your entries while you're watching the game. And you have four baseball games today to choose from. A lot of football on the way, too. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, to score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, Underdog. Make plays, win money. Must be 19-plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
It is 828 FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, he did that very well, very quickly. Y'all can give it up to Dalton right there.
Thank you.
Underdog in.
Sean says military leaders should be hard, scary men, not fat slobs. He's absolutely correct. When I was enlisted, the only facial hair allowed was a porn stash. What's the actual official word for that kind of stash? I think
is any stash?
Everyone knows what it is, but.
Is any mustache considered
a porn stash?
Yeah, by itself. I mean, a mustache by itself is an unusual look these days, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is. Although it did come back in fashion. It did come back in fashion, yeah. Just the mustache.
Okay.
I've tried it.
I did the beard thing for about 6 months.
You did do the beard thing. Yeah. You were distinguished for about 6 months.
Disgusting.
Chris says,
they both start with D.
Chris, I think rightfully disputing what I said earlier. Hegseth walking around the stage more like a TED Talk. He said it wasn't a TED Talk. It was George C. Scott playing Patton. That's a good reference.
Yeah, I bet. Good call.
Jason said, y'all see this yesterday. Yeah, with Jeffries and Schumer in the Oval Office and the Trump 2028 hats. We'll play Jeffries' response to that here after the break. Pete says, Hegseth's meeting was long overdue because up until recently, the USA would have lost a real war. They needed to hear it face-to-face.
Yes.
If half resigned, it would be a good start.
Yes.
He said, China, Iran, and Russia needed to hear it, too.
Yes. I agree with all of that.
All counts. Agreed. Damn Yankee says, a military strike on Venezuela is imminent. Well, they have been saying that for a week and a half. You didn't have to wait until that yesterday. They said they're going inside Venezuela. Says the Navy has the same number, not boots on the ground, but strikes. Yep. Says the Navy has the same number of admirals today as it did at the end of World War II. The only difference is much fewer ships and many fewer sailors.
Well, that's too many admirals then.
Yep.
Bottom line.
A lot of enlisted men have been saying that for a long time.
830, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Much more straight ahead. Much more of your text at 251-343-0106.
On this beautiful Wednesday morning. And on this beautiful Wednesday morning, we head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Tell us a little bit about what folks are coming through and what do people have their eyes on the lot at McConnell? What's hot right now?
Four-wheel drive pickup trucks, hunting season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're getting them in. Like I said the other day, Gump ordered 40 the week when we went on our little trip, and I think this Thursday he's got about 40 more to order. So,
wow.
I mean, we've got some four-wheel drive trucks coming in. We got three-quarter tons and half tons. Also have a few four-wheel drive AT4 Yukons coming in that aren't sold. So if you're looking for one of those, need a little tax break. Everybody makes a lot of money this past year, and need to buy something. We're going to have plenty of them coming in by the end of the year. And on the used car side, man, we've got a great selection of used cars. Check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call, 251-476-4141. We'd love to hear from you and come by and check out a lot of these fine rides.
Yeah, and like you said, website, if folks can't make it out to the lot, it's just incredible. I mean, you can see the exterior, the interior pictures, get a good feel for the vehicle before you get out there and maybe test drive it at McConnell.
That's right. Mike does a great job of taking pictures, and I mean, we've got there's plenty of about 30 pictures of each car we got on the lot on the website. So, you know, you can see every little nook and cranny and everything up about a car. So, y'all come on by and see us.
Yep. We appreciate it, Louie. Hope you have a great day.
Hey, thank y'all.
Louie Ratta, he's at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
On the text line, Freddie says that, so playing devil's advocate, the loud sucking noise you heard after Hegseth's announcement was the thousands of corpsmen and medics who are female, and they're leaving. I can guarantee you that no one with an injury in combat cares if you're female or gay or whether you can do 100 pull-ups. They just want you to get them better.
Did Hegseth say that he didn't want females or gays in the military?
I don't know.
I didn't hear him say that.
Well, I don't know the exact wording because 45 minutes of it and I've heard.
I heard him say he didn't want dudes in dresses.
He wants females to be able to, if they're in combat, to be able to
be in top shape.
Certain standards, yeah. But if you're a medic, I mean, you're there for, you know, you're there for that specific reason.
A lot of liberal
you don't need to be an Olympic athlete to make sure people are better.
A lot of liberals were telling on themselves with their response to Hegseth yesterday, saying, oh, this is a war on minorities and women. And you go, I didn't hear him specifically mention any of that, except that if you're a woman in combat, you have to be at the same standards and that the identity politics need to be done with because those get in the way of being ready for war. C.B. Carl says, when Reagan became commander-in-chief, we had some seriously overweight guys in our battalion. The order came down almost immediately that they were to get in shape or go home. None of the guys that didn't get with the program weren't missed. Butterknife says, let's see here.
That's important what he said at the end there. The guys that left weren't missed.
Weren't missed. Yeah. They were slowing everybody else down or making them look bad.
Yeah.
Butterknife says this is normal in the military. Every 4 years, they make adjustments for whatever administration is in the office. The only part I disagreed with was when Trump told them it is okay for y'all to clap, for y'all to cheer, for y'all to applaud. What I'm saying, it is vital that our military is not Republican or Democrat. The adjustment in the military retirement did help reduce that number of sailors. And then he says, guys, y'all are wrong. He did say one standard and boot camp. There are two standards, so a lot of female corpsmen will be out because they will not make it through boot camp. Is it sexist to say that if you're going into combat that you need to reach a certain threshold of physical fitness?
In 2020? In 2020, yes.
I don't think
that's sexist. In 2025, no.
Because other people's lives depend on it.
Sure.
That's... I mean,
well, same with DEI and you're an airline pilot, like Charlie Kirk was talking about.
It should be merit-based.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, you're not at war, but your life depends on an airline pilot if you're trying to get from L.A. back to Mobile.
Texter here. Let's see. Hey guys. This is Billy D again. Hey, guys. Flashpoint will be in Taiwan. Yeah, guys, I think you look better in that Mexican hat with a mustache. I think that was absolutely classic Trump. I think he's talking about some of the memes that arrived after the Jeffrey Schumer meeting in the Oval Office yesterday.
Yeah, we got to get to that.
And he also says, hey, guys, let me just throw this out there, and God knows I hope I'm wrong, everything I'm saying, but, you know, I'm seeing it from the outside looking in. What do you think about us going into Venezuela, taking that place over? What would that look like?
What would that look like?
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to invade Venezuela or just keep popping off from above, from the skies. That seems to be the move right now. But it'll be interesting if we do end up striking within Venezuela rather than just the cartels that are running boats on the water. What's that going to look like?
Yeah, the first leg of this plan has been working. So we can see that from the video out at sea.
Gene. Hey, good morning, Gene.
Hey, Gene.
General Austin was impressive. Wow. That was my wow. General Austin was impressive. Hegseth, a reserve major and the draft dodger in chief, lecturing the troops was sad. So no more women in the military. And of course, let's not forget those black folks, too. You're so racist, Gene. That's incredible that that's what you took from that. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely insane. And General Austin was impressive. Are you insane? Remember when he had that? Remember when he didn't tell anyone that he was going under surgery?
Like a gallstone or something? And next thing you know, he's no one. I mean, just a complete.
Remember the Afghan?
No protocol at all. You're in the Pentagon.
Remember the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
Oh, gosh.
Did he ever take accountability for his role in that?
That's terrible.
And who could forget the best picture of Lloyd Austin during his years in charge, where he was wearing like the welding clear doctor's mask for the COVID with another mask underneath, just looking like the toughest man around.
Mask on mask.
Completely covering his entire face. Lloyd Austin was impressive. Give me a break, Gene. Jeez. Tim says they really can't have facial hair because they have to be able to wear a gas mask, and you can't have facial hair a very little. Yeah, there's that too. And I don't know if this is true or not. I was watching documentary on World War II. Hitler, the reason he had such a tiny stash, I guess, in World War I when he was fighting in World War I, and they had to throw the gas masks on, and he had too big of a mustache, and he kind of just chopped it down right there after getting out of that. So I don't know if that's true or not. I'm kind of catching up on my history.
Yeah, that's World War I and World War II. I didn't jam together there.
I wasn't like I didn't follow history as closely as some of my friends, and I'm kind of in the dad mode now, where you know I'm all about history.
You want to catch up,
dive in,
and you can share it with the girls.
That's right, and they don't care.
One day they will.
Sean says, "I'm just saying, you see a lot of enlisted with full beards now, where that used to be only for downrange spec ops guys. It's like they dropped a lot in the old standards. Maybe they're bringing those back." Another texter: too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
There were some special forces will have beards too.
Blend in. Yeah, in so many cases. Yeah. Pete says, "If you're anything but a warrior first, see ya." Butterknife telling a woman they can't be in the military because they're not as strong is perfectly okay. I would never hire a young college-educated woman for any job. She's going to want to have kids. Or are you, let's see, is this Butterknife's actual take here? I'm not sure if he's quoting. I would never hire a young college-educated woman for any job. She's going to want to have kids. I will never hire an older man at the end of his career. He will cost me a fortune in health care.
Butterknife, keep it down.
Another texter.
That's a discussion being being had in the higher halls of this building every day about me.
You're putting in the physical fitness effort, man. You're out there every day.
Disease is still everywhere.
Texter, the military is voluntary. If you don't need physical standards, stay your ass at the house. Jason, if equality is real, there can really only be one standard. Another texter, hey guys, my memory is kind of fading right now. Who did Reagan go in and bring back to the United States and put them on trial? CB Carl, shortly after my battalion, NMCB1 won the battle, Efficiency E, naming us as the top battalion in the Atlantic Fleet. And finally, how many coming out of high school could physically meet military standards through boot camp? Thanks for the text. 251-343-0106.
They don't expect you to meet the standards when you enter boot camp, right? They expect you, I guess there's got to be some standards to join, but boot camp is designed to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I guess there is a...
You have to be...
Yeah, there's a low-end standard, I guess, to even qualify to get in.
So just quickly on this government shutdown thing, and they're supposed to vote again today, so we'll see how long it lasts.
We don't know when, right? We're not sure when that's going to happen?
I haven't seen the time on it yet. But you had Jeffries and Schumer in the Oval Office again yesterday with Thune and with Speaker Johnson. And they didn't come to an agreement. I think they voted twice, and by the end of the night, Thune said they had flipped three more votes, so they're getting closer today. But what happened in the meeting, pretty interesting. Trump, I guess, threw some Trump 2028 hats onto the desk there in the Oval Office. There were some people saying that he asked Jeffries and Schumer if they wanted to wear them or not. Well,
Trump 2028.
House Minority Leader Jeffries was on CNN last night discussing this. Let's see if I've got the audio going here. Nope, I have it muted. All right, here we go. Here's Jeffries.
When he tried to hand you that Trump 2028 hat, what was your reaction?
Well, actually, he did not try to hand Lita Schumer and I the Trump 2028 hat. Uh-huh. They just randomly appeared in the middle of the meeting on the desk. It was the strangest thing ever. And I just looked at the hat, looked at J.D. Vance, who was seated to my left, and said, "Don't you got a problem with this?" And he said, "No comment." And that was the end of it.
So there's Jeffries on that. Now, Vance was on Fox and Friends not that long ago this morning. And so much of this discussion is what exactly are the Democrats demanding in return for their vote to end the shutdown at this point? And the big talking point is whether Democrats are actually pushing to fund health care for illegal immigrants through these tax credits and the ACA. Here's Vance kind of speaking on that with Fox and Friends earlier today.
In the One Big Beautiful Bill, President Trump and congressional Republicans turned off that money to health care funding for illegal aliens. The Democrats want to turn it back on. And in their initial proposal, the first thing that they put out to reopen the government, they actually turned that money for health care benefits for illegal aliens back on. So it's not something that we made up. It's not a talking point. It is in the text of the bill that they initially gave to us to reopen the government. It's preposterous for them to run away from it now. But look, let's set that all to the side. Let's open up the government. Let's negotiate on all of these health care policy issues. Obviously, we're not going to support health care benefits for illegal aliens, but we will work with them to lower health care costs for American citizens if they're willing to do so.
It seems to me like the One Big Beautiful Bill was so genius because the Republicans got, for the most part,
what they wanted.
And not all Republicans, but got what they wanted. So they don't have any real needs here. They don't want to increase spending. I guess the only increased spending in the CR is extra security for
the border.
Well, not for the border. That was included in the One Big Beautiful Bill, but in the CR, extra security for members of Congress because of the kind of temperature of the nation right now.
Well, right.
And you have Trump and Russ Vogt and many others talking about, you know, more government jobs being cut and using this shutdown to cut those jobs. And I guess around 100,000 government employees were already set to officially, I don't know if it's resign or what it is, because today's October 1st. Like, that was on the way with the new fiscal year. But here's Trump yesterday. Like Dan said, you better be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. I mean, he's warning Democrats.
Here's Trump.
We can do things during the shutdown that are irreversible, that are bad for them and irreversible by them, like cutting vast numbers of people out, cutting things that they like, cutting programs that they like.
So it'll be interesting to see how long this lasts, because as many have pointed out, the Democrats, I think it was Newt Gingrich last night who was saying, there's two things regarding this that the American people polling has shown that they care for. One is, they don't want to see massive increases in spending.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, they don't want to see the government shut down. The Democrats are willing to shut the government down in order to increase the spending. So they kind of look bad on both fronts.
That's true.
And Gingrich said the American people see that. So the Democrats will have to wear this.
Well, that's always the concern, right? Do the American people see it? I think more and more that they are. Do the American people get the news delivered to them in a fair way? We know for most part on the NBC, CBS, still not doing it any justice to trying to parcel out the news in a way that you can say, okay, that's pretty down the middle. Another thing I thought that was funny, that Akeem Jeffries and the hat that said Trump 2028, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying it to J.D. Vance, like, hey, man, like, aren't you...
You got a problem with this?
You got a problem? Like, aren't you the next in line? So... Did that start with Bannon? Where did the Trump 2020, and has Trump ever just completely shot it out of the air?
Well, remember, he was asked about it quite a bit in the campaign. Oh, what's keeping
what's
you
up
from
with
running
that?
Again?
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, at first he was like, nah, you don't have to worry about that. And then I think he figured out it would really needle the other side.
He's still stringing it along? Is he still doing that?
Yeah. I think he's using it to troll. Now, maybe he really means it. And I would have a problem with that if Trump ran for a third term. And I don't think I would be alone. Whether enough people would be frustrated with that to not vote for him again, or how all of that would work out, I don't know. I would like to believe that Trump is just using it as a tool to troll.
I think he is, and this is why. J.D. Vance, back in March, He was named the finance chairman of the Republican National Committee. So what that means is J.D. Vance is right in there with the biggest donors, with the most influential people that are private citizens, the influence on the Republican Party. So J.D. Vance has got an audience with the richest donors, and the donors are probably going to, you know, they're going to help choose who's going to be running after. I mean, as the vice president, you would think he's first man up, but I think it's almost a solid bet now, considering his role as the finance chairman, raising all the money and developing all those relationships.
And we've really seen them ramp up Vance's time in front of the camera.
They have.
And, you know, I was thinking about this as he was speaking after the Oval Office meeting a couple days ago. Can you imagine Kamala Harris coming out in the middle of tense negotiations?
No.
And being given that kind of floor of leash?
No. And he was probably also that finance thing. That was probably a Trump appointment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all JD, I think, in 2028.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:52. Morning from Dan and Dalton. FM Talk 106.5, 8:56. On Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Turn it over. Well, we don't turn it over just yet, Jeff Poore, but we do have a chance to have a conversation with you real quick. Good morning. How are you?
Let's see. We've got, is Jeff?
Oh, there we go.
There he is.
There we are.
Hey, Jeff, you there?
Oh, hang on.
Maybe.
Am I pushing every button or am I missing
something? I can't hear you guys.
Oh, that's the problem. Now you can hear us, Jeff, I'm sure.
See, now I can hear you, yes.
Okay. We had almost everything perfectly correct, except that one little button that makes you hear us.
Oh, one over there.
The Jeff Poore Show on the way here in just a few minutes. Who you have coming on today, Jeff?
I'll kick it off with the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, also a candidate with us about 45 minutes or so. Joey Clark, as we do every Wednesday, and then Congressman Gary Palmer from the 6th Congressional District will make time for us.
You know, when we have a Senate candidate on every Friday, we talk college football. What will you talk to? What are you going to talk to Marshall about?
He got the a big endorsement yesterday, Alpha endorsement.
Ooh.
So that's – and a bunch of candidates got their Alpha endorsements. We'll talk about that in the program.
Okay.
We'll kick it off here. But he would come on and talk about the farmer endorsement. Of course, we'll ask you about the state of the race now, what he thinks of Paul Feinbaum.
Right.
Just some of the other things going on in Washington, D.C.
What'd you make? I guess we have a minute, so this is a loaded question. But Hegseth and Trump in front of the military brass yesterday, good move, bad move?
Well, probably okay move. Probably something that was what we would have expected with a Pete Hegseth as the secretary at the Pentagon. So I think maybe it was also a little bit of messaging for the American public.
Yeah.
Because this could have been, it probably could have been done in another way, but the public needed to hear it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And they were all together. They heard two voices all at the same time and were given a message very sternly. I loved it.
Yeah. Looking forward to the Jeff Poore Show. Can't wait to hear your conversation with the Attorney General. And we'll be tuned in. Jeff, thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Here we go. Quite a morning here, Dio.
Woo!
Got a little flag football practice tonight?
No, we're doing some team pictures. How's my hair look?
59, it looks great. Jeff Poore next.